Listening friend, welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's September 17th, 2014. Thank you for joining me on this, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. Jason?
Woo!
Yeah. I have a little montage for you and our radio listening family.
Oh.
I promised this on the Monday and Tuesday edition as I had Calvin and Marcia Dreger share some of their life story and their testimony. And they were two of many people that came to our Great News Radio table at the Wellness and Fitness Fair this past week. And I pulled out my microphone and said, hey, give me your name, where you're from, and maybe share a little what you appreciate about Great News Radio, how God's using it in their lives. So you're going to hear that little montage in just a second. So I appreciate the listeners. And, you know, I'm thinking, Jason, we talk about how we always want our program to bring glory to God, to be honoring to Him, to draw people to Him. And I think over and over again, and it's exhibited in some of these testimonies, in spite of me, thank you, God. You know how we see ourselves as broken vessels,
sure,
that only by the grace of God that He's redeemed us, that He's brought any good out of us, because our tendency, being self-centered, at least speaking for myself, or consumed with my agenda or what I want to accomplish, I marvel and I thank God constantly how people are so blessed by tuning in, by the radio speakers, by those like yourself that are preachers of God's word that are passionate about dividing it correctly. People like David Jeremiah, Charles Stanley, others that dedicate their lives to introducing people to the truths of the scripture. And what a blessing it is to be a part of a ministry that gets to provide that avenue through the airwaves, through these programs and so forth. So thank you for your commitment. As people have said, isn't Jason here? I said, oh no, he's busy with the family. He has other commitments this weekend. And so I had Mary Mosser with me the whole time. She gives a little testimony too. Actually, it turns into like a little radio spot. It's like, hey Mary, can I pay you for some more content? But you're going to hear about a five-minute montage, I don't know, a dozen plus people that stopped by the table and shared some of the things they like about Great News Radio. So here it is, and kind of sit back for the next 5 minutes. You might know some of these friends. They might be your neighbors. You might agree with their assessment or what they appreciate about Great News Radio. And if you're new to this radio ministry, listen at various times. On WGNN, we have a different program lineup than WGNJ. So you hear some referring to programs on 89.3 FM versus something they hear on 102.5 FM. So listen throughout the day into the evening, and I'm sure God can speak to you very specifically as He's spoken to these many people. So we'll begin with some of these comments.
My name is Bill Gordon. I live in Urbana, Illinois, and I'm so thankful for Great News Radio and Dr. Michael Radelnik's program on Saturday mornings, the two-hour broadcast. I've learned a lot from him, and I just appreciate Mark, radio staff, and all the things that they do for bringing a message of Christ to our community. Thank you very much. God bless you.
This is Jeannie Grady. I'm from Urbana, Illinois. I have been listening to Great News Radio from the first day they started broadcasting. What do I like about it? Just about everything.
My name is Gail Zules, and I'm from Mahomet, Illinois. And I've listened to Great News Radio for many years, and I love the music, I love the speakers, and I have learned so much, and it has really grounded me in my faith. So thank you.
My name is Pat Sadler. I listen to WGNJ every chance I get, and it's been a blessing to me, and it's helped me through hard times and problems I've gone through. And I appreciate David Jeremiah's messages, and the music is a real blessing. Continue to support WGNJ.
Hi, my name is Christine Johnson. I live in Champaign, Illinois. I go to Curtis Road Church of God, and I love this radio station because in the morning I listen to Pastor Jeremiah on my way to work, and then I love Adventures in Odyssey. I love that, and there's a couple of others, but I'm too excited to talk about them. Thanks.
I'm Mary Mosser from Champaign, Illinois, and Great News Radio is the first love of my life. I tell you, it's a wonderful station. And not only that, the singing men of GNN took my heart years ago, and I just love WGNN radio. And I love great news. That's the greatest news I ever had in my life. And I'm really so glad that Mark kind of adopted me as a grandmother. And I'm just so pleased with the turnout for the Israel trips. I've been with Mark to Israel, and it's a wonderful trip. If you're ever thinking about taking an extra trip, see Mark, because it's a wonderful way to go to Israel. You meet so many wonderful new people, and you see the land of the Lord, and it's just such a blessing. So call WGNN, your station, and it's a wonderful thing to hear the men sing. They rehearse one night a week, and they have one of the most wonderful directors I've ever heard. So stay tuned to WGNN, and you'll hear the latest. I guarantee you that.
Nancy Gill from Champaign, and I like Mark and Friends and all the music and Goddessy. Just pray the Lord would do something in your life when you listen.
My name is Elmer Zules. I'm from Mahomet. What I like about Great News Radio really is that they spread the word of the Lord to everyone in our community.
My name is Sharon, and I'm from Gilman, Illinois, and this station is on my radio 24/7. I leave it on because sometimes in the night I'm up and I want to hear good words and I want to hear good music. And I love David Jeremiah. I like Charles Stanley, Kay Arthur. Just don't be without this radio station. Try it, everyone.
I'm Bonnie Milliken from Urbana, and I love Great News Radio. I love the teaching. All the inspirational teachers have been a great help and inspiration to me over the years. I love the teachings.
My name is Connie Thompson. I'm from Monticello. I have been a huge fan of WGNN for years. I find that the teachings inspire me, encourage me, and I would hope that everyone would come and support WGNN. They are the best thing out there on the radio.
This is Ellen Plummer, and I'm from Urbana, and I listen to the radio every night, and it's always the good station with Mark Burns announcing and the music, and it's good to know that God's with me as I fall asleep, and I just really enjoy that, and I love all that Mark is doing in the community to carry on God's word and God's message. We need that so much, and I'm so thankful to him and all that he does and his staff. Thank you, Mark.
My name is Beth Ganatra, and I like everything about Great News Radio. Oh, and I love Mark and Friends. Oh, and I love the variety of music. God's best to all the listeners tuned in today.
Well, that was a little montage recorded just this past Saturday at the Wellness and Fitness Fair over at Lincoln Square Mall. And as people stopped by the table, I'd pull out the microphone. And some were a bit reluctant, and I had to almost twist their arms, Jason, to comment or convey what they had. But I think they did a great job. And all glory to God on how this radio ministry can be used to equip you in your faith journey. Maybe you're a senior saint and you just need that spoken word, the scriptures highlighted or divided or taught, or maybe you're a seeker. Maybe you're beginning to say, who is this God? Who is this Jesus? And hopefully through the ministry of all these various programming hosts, through the comments that are shared and said, through the scripture that's read, through the testimonies, you're going to draw closer to God this very day. So thank you, Great News Radio listeners, for coming out and being a part of that. So what a great listening bunch. And
yeah,
to some degree, it's got to be rewarding for you to be a part of this ministry, because I know you love dividing and preaching God's word on Sunday. You love being a pastor over a congregation where you can see them grow, where you can infuse biblical teaching into their lives. But I'm sure you get some feedback from people saying, you know, thank you, Jesus. Something you said really touched my heart. And how does that feel? Does that energize you more to be faithful, to studying harder, to really saying, okay, Lord, I have a greater reach with this ministry. Help me use it.
I would say this. It's double-sided. It's a double edge there in terms of It is encouraging. I mean, it's always encouraging to hear the way people are growing and to be able to hear how God is working in their life. And I particularly love it when somebody will come and say, you said this and it made me think about this or led me to this or reminded me of this, because I love to hear the application piece of it. But it always is, I tell my wife all the time, look, I know my heart, and so I'm always wary of clapping because I like being celebrated. I like clapping. I like that. And the Bible says, Habakkuk chapter 2:4 says, they can easily become puffed up. And I know that I can have that propensity. So I always have to guard my heart in that. So I love the encouragement because I love to hear how people are growing. I wouldn't say it necessarily drives me to study, because I've come to a place in my life where my study is really not, like, I would hope that the message on Sunday morning is powerful and it moves people in the congregation. I would hope that things we talk about on the radio move people and help them to grow in the Lord. But ultimately, my study has nothing to do with any of those things. It's because I tenaciously want to find out more about Jesus, and I want to intimately meet him and draw close to him. In fact, I talked about this past Sunday at our church. You know, I said we've got to really be careful. We've got to change the touchdown. Because if the touchdown is, I just need to know my Bible, then that's the wrong reason. It's the wrong motivation. The reason you study your Bible is so that you can grow in intimacy and closeness with God Almighty. The Bible is his revelation. And by the way, he's given you his Holy Spirit to read it with you so it can lift things off the page, and because it's living and active, it's breathing. And so the motivation to read the Bible is not to read the Bible so that I can get my doctrine right. I mean, those are all yes, yes and yes. Those are things that come from doing that. But ultimately, your goal as you plow through the scriptures need to be my growing intimacy with God. The same thing with prayer. Prayer is not my laying before God my needs, laying before God the needs of other people. Yes and yes, that is part of what it is. But you know what it really is? It's my admitting that I am very small and God is very big. But by his grace, he's created a space that I can intimately draw close to him and ask him questions and lay before him people's names and needs. And so my motivation to pray is not to see God answer the needs of people, but to draw close and be encouraged and grow in the fact that I know that God does listen, that he does hear me, that when he says in the scripture that his eyes and his ears are attentive to the prayers offered in this place, that's true. And so I just think we've got to be real careful, and we've got to understand that it's not about me, that it's about Jesus. In fact, that was one of the things, it hit me a couple weeks ago. I was reading the Bible, and I listened to a bunch of different pastors all week long. Love listening to different pastors. I usually pick, there's some on the radio here that I listen to, love Lutzer, but there's a couple that I listen to. And one of the guys was giving a message about David and Goliath. And he was saying, when you come against the Goliaths in your life, you know, you need to be like David. And I thought for a minute, I thought like, yes, yes. And then God kind of did this thing where he's like, not really. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? You know, like I'm just sitting there and I'm just kind of praying and talking. And God goes, you could be David, but maybe David is actually Jesus, because only Jesus can conquer the Goliaths in your life. Mm-hmm. And it was a moment where I go, wait a second. Once again, I have to be careful where I want to inject myself in the Bible, because the Bible's all about Jesus. And the point of studying the Bible, the point of praying, the point of all those things is that I get to draw close to Jesus and I get to rely on his strength in my weakness. And so I don't have to be David, because I have Jesus who can conquer every Goliath in my life, who can bring me through those things. But if I begin to think that I'm David, then I'm in a really dangerous spot, because I don't know about the rest of you, but I can't sling a stone to save my life.
Yeah, yeah. And you want to be like Jesus, but again, we can't be like Jesus. We have to kind of just lean
the job's
in
already
say,
been. Look at everybody wants to be like Jesus, okay? Okay, but how many, when they get the cross out and the nails out, are you going like, you know, I think we've gone a little too far here? I mean, it's the same thing. On Sunday morning, I said, how many of you love the Apostle Paul? You know, and hands were in the air. And I said, so we love Paul's ministry, but how many of you want Paul's pain? How many of you want what Paul went through? You know, and there's this great passage in Philippians 4 where Paul says, I learned what it meant to be content, which means that somewhere in that verse is a real depth of intimacy that he had with Jesus that came through a really tough season. He didn't immediately know what it meant to be content. He didn't say that. He doesn't say, I know what it means to be content. He said, I learned. And when we learn things with the Lord, it oftentimes is painful. But what we have to understand is how the Lord sees it. You see, because we see things vastly different than the Lord. The Bible is replete over and over again talking about the Lord disciplining his children, especially in the Old Testament. He disciplines the children of Israel. And for us, discipline is punitive. It's punishment, right? If you discipline little Esther, yeah. What is it?
Discipline.
It's punishment. Misses is spanking. It's come on. You could talk about it on the radio, right? Spare the rod. Da, da, da. You know, worst thing that'll happen is you'll get a bunch of emails. But here's what the Bible says about discipline, because the Bible doesn't see discipline as punitive. The Bible sees discipline as this, the vision that God has for you today that begins to work itself out today and into tomorrow. So what it is God sees who you can be in Christ Jesus, and he begins to conform you into that image. But that's a painful process sometimes. That's a process where he's reordering and reorganizing your life. So biblical discipline is today God begins to work out that vision for a different tomorrow. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12 says this. Starts actually in verse 11. It says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. That's true, right? All discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Mm-hmm. So the fruit of this discipline is a righteousness. By the way, what does the Bible say in Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, and Galatians 3:11? The righteous will live by faith. So it's exercise. Discipline is conforming, training, and exercising your ability to live by faith, that the righteous might live by faith. And I love this, because if you get to that part and you go, man, but I hate being trained by it, listen to what the fruit is in verse 12. Therefore, I love when the Bible says therefore, because it means something's coming. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weakened knees. The Lord says, look it, I'm disciplining you, but why? So that those hands that you can't seem to get into the air and worship me, you will now be able to put straight up in the air. That those knees that you can't seem to unbuckle because the world has been buckling them down, now you can straighten those up, and you can do what Ephesians tells you to do in chapter 6, which is to stand firm in the Lord and his mighty power. And so, that's a long answer to a very short question.
Well, and how the Old Testament, especially the Proverbs, the Lord disciplines those he loves. Discipline is a part of the process, because ultimately, God's more interested in us conforming to the image of his Son. I think somebody said in the final analysis, the life we live here is because God wants us to conform into the image of his Christ. And that's going to mean many times heartache and pain and suffering and anguish. But that's so we can be molded and representative of him. And so no pain, no gain. I mean, discipline is a huge factor, and there will be heartache. And how do we come out of that? Hopefully leaning more heavily into him.
Yeah, well, just think about this. And this is a question I guess by any measure have worked out yet. But do you think the Lord cares more about today, right now, this moment? Or do you think the Lord cares more about the day when you step into eternity, mm-hmm. and the condition and your heart? I think he's preparing you today. When we say he has a vision of that future is the day in Jude 21st chapter of Jude, well, there's only one chapter, in the 24th verse, where it says that with great joy and without blemish, he delivers you to the throne room of God. Mm-hmm. That Jesus comes not only, listen, there was joy in Galatians chapter 1 when God revealed himself to Paul, when he revealed Jesus to Paul, but then there's also great joy when Jesus delivers you to the throne room of God. So in both of those places, why is there joy in both of those places? By the way, there's not, look up joy, there's not like a lot of uses of the word joy in the in-between. You know why? Because in the in-between, you're bringing glory to God, and God is giving you a deep sense of satisfaction and joy that comes from bringing him glory. But what brings God glory? Your salvation, which leads to your deliverance into eternity, into the throne room of God. Mm-hmm. And I really think that that's what God is ultimately really worried. Jesus said, therefore, go. What was your job when he told you to go? Was to share and preach this gospel message. I think that we have become far too indifferent with the gospel. I think that we have got, and I know you, so I'm just gonna like, I don't know, what do we call this, like virtually point my finger?
Yeah.
I'm gonna virtually point my finger because I know a lot of you, you come out to these events that we have, so I get to talk to you and shake your hand and see you, and we have conversations and that. So we've grown a little bit. Maybe we're not close enough that you've invited me over to dinner, but we're close enough that you stop by and say hi.
Has Marge sent those chocolate chip cookies yet?
No, she has not.
Keep praying.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, and Marge heard the cry of her people. So I know you. So I just want to delicately point my finger, and I want to say, get off the sidelines. God has given you. There are lives that hang in the balance. There are things happening in the world today that I'm going to tell you what you and I and we do not have an answer for. And dropping tanks and soldiers and whatever we on the ground, that's not going to necessarily solve the problem. The answer to almost all of these inconceivable questions that we keep running across via the news and all these different things is the gospel. Is the gospel. Because if the gospel could change the heart of a wicked man like Saul of Tarsus, who was dragging men and women and children out of the houses and killing them brutally, went to the priest and said, give me some letters so that it can be legal that I can murder people. If the gospel can radically change somebody as wicked as Saul of Tarsus, and you can go through history, there are other wicked people that the gospel grabbed a hold of and radically changed. If the gospel can do that, then why aren't we leaning into that? There's a great t-shirt I saw the other day. It said, drop psalms, not bombs. and I, at first I'm like, well, that's kind of funny. It's kind of true. But then I thought, wait a second. are in our plan, our strategic planning, is not dropping the gospel an option?
Yeah, I know a friend that said if these Hamas leaders or ISIS or wherever, you know, anyone would turn to Christ, just think the impact and the revolution that they could start amongst their own people and their own group. And
yeah, so would you commit? Would you, again, I know you, I can virtually point my finger, we've met each other. Would you commit to begin to pray today that God, because we know if you believe the Bible's true, this is true, you know it's true. Start to pray that God would raise up a Saul of Tarsus in the middle of ISIS, in the middle of Hamas, in the middle of these wicked and despicable and oppressive groups, that God would begin to raise up a Saul of Tarsus who would radically change and evangelize and just destroy from the inside that group with the power of the gospel and the testimony of Jesus Christ.
And that might even be you today. You might have in your heart of hearts a wickedness that you can't remove yourself. And we would say, call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meet with Pastor Jason. Meet with an area Bible-believing church. Get to know these pastors and God's Word and His truth as revealed through the Scriptures. Or there's an 800 number where there's trained counselors. It's a free call. You can touch base with them. Hey, I want to have a relationship with Almighty God. How do I start? You can dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.